You are listening to KPCRadio.com. The time is 11 o'clock, Monday, November 2nd. Today, I have a set of guests from the Premier Hospice and Home Care Company. And with me today, I have Rimzan, the President and CEO, Rizan, the Vice President of Sales and Marketing, and Fawaz, who is also the Volunteer Coordinator. Fawaz, the Volunteer Coordinator at Premier Hospice and Home Care. Hello. Welcome
Hi,
to
guys.
The show.
Hi. So how are you?
Good. And yourself?
Thanks for having us here.
So can you tell me a little bit about your company, Premier Hospice and Home Care?
Premier Hospice and Home Care was actually a branch of the parent company, Premier Medical Marketing. Been around for almost 12 years. And then with collaboration of one of the biggest hospice companies in the Bay Area, which is ProHealth, we actually decided to branch out to the SoCal market. And I believe January of 2013, we incorporated Premier Hospice and Home Care, and then we've been going through the credentialing process from the Department of Health, Joint Commission, Medicare, Medi-Cal. And finally, as of January 2015, we were up and running that we could actually see patients, treat them, and do what we always wanted to do, which is patient care.
Okay, what made you all want to join this trade or in the trade?
Well, Premier Hospice is, like I said, it was a branch out of Premier Medical Marketing. So we were always in the medical field, in a different aspect of the medical field. We were marketing doctors, which was very unique at that time. And we wanted to diversify a little bit, and hospice was the next best thing because it was something that was needed in this area because the baby boomers, that age group society, was at that point where they needed hospice care, pretty much. So with the help of ProHealth, we were able to expedite the whole process of getting credentialed and getting licensed, putting the policies in place, the procedures in place, and also not just that, just to get the team right to provide excellent care. So it took us a while, but now I could say we have a great team and we're ready to move to the next level.
Oh, wow. So for our listeners who don't have an understanding of what a hospice is, can you give a small background so they can understand it?
Hospice, throughout the years, have had a stigma where everybody assumes once you're in hospice care that the patients are going to die, and it's pretty inevitable that it's a matter of time. Now the patients are dying, and that's so not true. Hospice is basically palliative care. You're managing the symptoms. So literally, let me kind of walk you down the steps. So if a patient's in the hospital or at home or under treatment under a primary care physician, once that patient has been deemed that medical treatment is not going to improve that individual's health, and if there's less than 6 months for that patient to live, mm-hmm. that's when the patient's eligible for hospice. There is a process where we enroll the patient in hospice. We have to get the blessings from the primary care physician and a written doctor's note saying that the patient is hospice eligible. And then our medical director goes through the whole process of screening the patient, making sure that this candidate is hospice eligible. Once we identify that, at that point, it's a matter of making the patient comfortable. So we either treat the patient at the facility, or most patients want to be at their homes around their loved ones at that time. So we pretty much bring the patient home. We provide all the facilities, all the durable medical equipment that they need. And we pretty much, between the clinicians, the non-clinicians, we take care of that patient, and we manage symptoms. We manage pain. That's one of the primary things we do. And pretty much make it as comfortably as possible for the patient to kind of pass away.
So the goal is to pretty much make a person's life happier and easier.
Correct. And it's a combination of three aspects. One is spiritual. Other one is the clinical aspect of it. And then the other one is just the patient's well-being.
So why would someone choose hospice instead of a hospital or a nursing facility?
got a hospice is a unique trait. Again, it's managing your symptoms. A lot of medical providers and a lot of medical facilities are geared towards treating patient symptoms. And there's a point, unfortunately, in a patient's cycle where that treatment is not effective anymore. And I think the best resort is hospice, because hospice, we manage the we basically manage pain, manage symptoms, and it's the comfort. The main goal is to keep the patient comfortable, and we kind of have several ways of doing it. It's spiritual again. Number one, it's spiritual consulting as well. So it's just not the medical component. There is a spiritual aspect of it, where we have chaplains and we have priests that actually work with the patients. We have social workers that work with the families as well. So it's just not the patient as well. So it's that support group as well.
Okay. So what are the benefits of it as well?
The benefits is the patient is mostly for the patient, and some of it is for the families as well. So the benefit for the patient is you're in your comfort zone. You're in a surroundings where you're comfortable. You're at your own home, and most patients want to be in their room. You're surrounded by people that you know. That's one of the comforting things for the patients.
That's true.
And for the families, they don't see the patient suffering. They don't see their family member in pain. They don't have that hospital setting. And it's a win-win for the family as well as for the patient.
Okay.
And actually, Ram, let me just add something else. You know, a lot of people actually, they don't do well in hospitals, you know, because of the environment, you know, the medications they see, and just the entire setting itself. So actually, we have found that it's very beneficial for patients to be at their own comfort in their own room, where they, you know, wake up every day or go to bed every day. And actually, we have seen, you know, positive results in just being at home, because they actually feel better, you know, in that setting. So, and that's another main reasons why, you know, we Premier want to get into hospice, because at the end of the day, it's all about patient care. You know, we want to treat the patients, make sure they feel good. Because, you know, I mean, people think there's been a very, you know, connotation that hospice is, oh my gosh, you know, we got to stay away from it. But no, you know, we try to treat the patient to the best of our ability. And actually, you know, quite frankly, Premier Hospice has had a very good success rate in actually getting patients better, you know, so it's actually working really well.
Okay. So for all of you, what is your usual schedule like on a regular daily basis?
When it comes to hospice?
I mean, yeah.
Just clarification on that. Like, individual schedules, because me as a president, my role, my day-to-day role is very, very different to compare to something that Dean would be doing, or my medical director would be doing, or my case managers would be doing, for that matter. So it really depends on the role. If I was to work my way down, I'm involved on a very high level on a daily basis. Just making sure our senses are where it needs to be, and our medication, our clinicians are where they need to be on that day and stuff like that. Office managers are more involved on day-to-day routine. Our administrator is responsible for patient care, coordinating patient care, coordinating all our clinicians, and also just the day-to-day functions of it. Then we have a medical director on board that is reviewing the patient charts, right? That's done on a biweekly basis. We have IDT meetings that all the clinicians come on board, come to the office, and they review every single patient charts. And that's a good platform where clinicians can actually discuss the patient's progress or decline, and get other clinicians' opinions and the medical director's opinion on how to handle a particular situation. Then we have a director of nursing. She pretty much is involved in managing all the clinicians, the hospice aides, the LVNs, the RNs, making sure the schedules are on track, and we're visiting these patients as frequent as we need to, and coordinating the chaplain, the social worker. So it's a lot of moving parts. It's a lot of moving parts in a hospice organization, but again, it's well managed, I would say.
So there are a lot of opportunities for incomers.
Definitely.
For this field.
Definitely.
So, how is it to What's the process in order to get in to your company in order to volunteer and then start?
So we have different programs as volunteers. So volunteering is a part of patient care, and we emphasize on it quite as much as we do as far as the clinicians and all the other entities that come together to actually treat the patients. So with volunteers, there are two types of volunteers. One's an in-house volunteer. Mm-hmm. Those individuals are pretty much in-house. They're in the office helping the coordinators, helping the LVNs, the nurse case managers, and the office administrators on their day-to-day activities. It could be auditing paperwork. It could be making phone calls, doing customer care surveys, making sure that our staff are doing what they need to be doing, and just checking and just assessing the quality of work that we provide. So that's more in-house. And we also have another section of it where volunteers could be involved on a more clinical aspect of it. So these would work great for students that are enrolled in LVN courses or trying to be an RN. They're doing their prerequisites to build up their hours. There are opportunities where they could go visit the patients, kind of talk to them, read to them, kind of accompany them if they need to go out, take them for a walk and stuff like that. It really makes an impact on the patient's progress, because some of these patients are their home or their facility by themselves, really not have anybody to talk to. And
they really need someone.
And it's very
point.
Unfortunate, but that's why we have the volunteer program where we get volunteers. And these are hours you get credit for. So you could use these as your volunteer hours in any program that you're enrolled in currently.
And just to add as well, you know, for anyone out there who is looking to pursue a career in the medical field, this is a great stepping stone to, you know, volunteer, put in your hours, so you get to see what it is to be, you know, in a medical environment, you know, because this is all practicality. You know, we learn the theory, but then, you know, once we, you know, go to the practical world, it's night and day. So, you know, for a lot of students out there, this will be a good opportunity to see what it's like to be in a facility where, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces involved, so that you'll have a better future in terms of what you want to do.
How can our listeners who are interested in volunteering at Premier Hospice and Home Care, how can they join?
Well, they can volunteer, and we can take them as interns and help us out. There are some basic things they can do, like just reading books to the patients, or listening to music, making them, assist them in, you know, preparing food, and also when they have a caregiver, they can give the caregiver a break by going and staying with them and talking with them, making phone calls to their relations and friends and family. These are things that they can do. But there are certain things some volunteers are not allowed to do, like they cannot do any clinical care or advice. And they can't move patients from place to place because these require the work of a nurse or an LVN. And they cannot basically touch the patient or such, because these are things that are only done by a person who is medically qualified. And some basic things that they're not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we are all open to volunteers.
And if there's anybody out there that's actually interested in talking to us or wanting to be a part of this, the best way to get in touch with us is call us at this point. The phone number, do you mind if I get the phone number out?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, the phone that's number fine. To call mm-hmm. us would be 800-857-1467. Once again, that number is 800-857-1467. You could call and just ask for the volunteer coordinator or also ask for the administrator and just let them know you heard this on the air and you're calling for a volunteer position. And then we would set something up where you could come into the office, take a look at what we do, meet the staff, and then if you're interested, we could sign you up.
Okay, that's very interesting, because I know there is bound to be a lot of listeners who are interested in volunteering.
Sure.
So another question that came up to me was, who pays for the hospice that way?
Hospice, a couple of things. They're depending on the patient's eligibility. So primarily it's Medicare pays for hospice. Okay. And this is something that every Medicare patient is eligible for. And if you have a PPO plan or an HMO plan, there is always a carve-out for hospice. So every insurance plan out there has a carve-out for hospice. So pretty much if you have insurance, or if you don't, then Medicare pays for it. But if you do, there is a carve-out.
Okay. So far, within your long experience of being in this trade, what has been the most memorable experience that you have had?
We've had a few, and one thing that really stands out, one instance that really stands out was, unfortunately, we did have a hospice patient that was, I think, 21 years of age. It was very unfortunate why he had to be in hospice, but circumstances were such that we did admit this patient. And the patient was a huge, huge baseball fan. He was a huge Dodger fan. For his birthday, for his 22nd birthday, we actually, the whole team got together. We put a lot of baseball items in there, a lot of gift baskets we made with all the staff. And then through my contacts, I was able to get one of the Dodger jerseys actually signed by one of the players. Oh. And we actually drove out there for his birthday with a cake. And you know, we spent time with him and his family, and that was something that was very hard to do. But I think at the end of the day, it was just amazing, because he was really, really, really happy. And this was one of the success stories for hospice. So elaborating a little bit more, this patient eventually came out of hospice. Yeah, patients sometimes come out of hospice because they improve, and. This was one of those cases where he was given less than 6 months to live. And after coming on board with us, he lived for more than 6 months. And to better yet, he improved to a point where he enrolled in community college. And as of right now, he is attending community college in the Oxnard area. And this is one of the success stories, and I would still remember that day that we went out there, and it was very special and it was very memorable.
Do you have one, Rizan or Fawaz?
This is the same case. It's a very fulfilling feeling when you know that you have done something to somebody, and the pleasure it gives you, and it's incomparable. I mean, it's so different.
What most people assume is hospice. When you say hospice, everybody automatically assumes that it's an older individual, and you know, in their very later stages in life, and that's so not the case. We've had patients as young as 21, and we had patients 30s and as old as 104. So
yes,
yeah, that was one of our
favorites.
You can't really put an age to it, and that patient is still alive, right?
Yes,
she's still with us.
Alive,
yes.
Yeah.
So so
that's quite that's pretty moving, actually, to have someone in a situation like that, and for them to get back to their regular life.
Yeah, I just want to elaborate on that misconception that hospice doesn't necessarily mean that patient, it's end of life. I mean, I would say 40 to 50% of our patients, they live longer than what the doctor predicts them to live. So after coming on board to hospice, that's why hospice is so important. And I try to encourage people and try to put the word out there that hospice is definitely a good thing, because it's not even though it's end of life, it's not technically end of life. It's just improving quality of life pretty much for whatever that time you have remaining.
So you guys are located in the Valley area, am
yes.
I correct?
Our corporate office is based in Woodland Hills, but we work with a sister company based in the San Jose area. So we have four locations in the San Jose area and one in Woodland Hills. But we can cover patients anywhere from Camarillo coming south. We also go up to Ventura. And inland, we cover the San Fernando Valley, and we do most of Los Angeles, Sherman Oaks, and that whole area. Burbank.
Burbank, yes.
Oh, okay. So, Vice President of Sales and Marketing.
Yep, that's right.
So what is your daily schedule
like? Well, as a VP, you are exposed to a lot of different aspects of the company. As Rim mentioned before, the Premier Group, Premier Medical Marketing, and now the hospice. And my role is essentially to to bring the numbers in, to bring the business in. You know, I meet with clients on a regular basis, talk to them of what we do, the benefits of our program, and pretty much to just, you know, to make sure that we bring in the business. And I also have a team who are, you know, on a consistent basis, you know, interacting with, you know, our clients to make sure that, you know, we do everything right. If there's any conflict that arises, you know, we are the first to jump on the phone and make sure we resolve it right away before it gets to the next level. So yeah, it's never a dull moment. You know, every day there's always something interesting happening. And, you know, it's, again, it's so rewarding to be in a position where I can help patients to the, you know, on their road to recovery. So it's exciting.
And for the volunteer coordinator?
Mine's a little different. Of course, I have to make sure all the paperwork is in order. Everything is in compliance. And there's a lot of filing to be done, paperwork inside the office. I don't much visit the patients as such, because we have our LVNs, caregivers, nurses, and doctors to visit the patients. But yeah, there is a lot of work that has to be compliant, so that if there is one single paper that is out and is not available, we can be you know, pulled up by the state, or it can be not compliant. You know, so that's an important aspect in patient care. Other than that, it's a very rewarding experience to be in hospice and home care.
This is one of the reasons why we do need volunteers, is because as much as clinical, there is clinical aspect to a hospice, I would say majority of the work is back end. It's at the back office. Everything needs to be documented. Everything needs to be audited, checked twice over and over again, re-audited in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that we have the volunteers do, and it's pretty interesting. I mean, of course, we do sign a HIPAA waiver, so there's patient confidentiality involved as well. But it's constantly trying to keep up with the compliance, because these compliance changes, because you're dealing with patient care, and that's pretty big. So we are constantly changing what we need to audit and when we need to audit.
And obviously, you know, as you know, with Medicare, we got to make sure we have all the checks and balances in place. You know, Fawaz makes his job sound very easy, but, you know, quite frankly, it's not. You know, compliance is a huge, huge piece in the hospice industry. And, you know, Fawaz is doing a great job at that and making sure everything is in place. So obviously, you know, we need more people to make sure that, you know, everything is in compliance.
We're here to train, too. We like to train volunteers to come and join us. That's part of our program.
So what are the benefits for the volunteers after they join you?
It's the volunteers, actually, they do get credit. We do give them a certification saying that they did volunteer at Premier Hospice and Home Care, and these hours could be used against their whatever the hours they need to have in order to complete their program. That's one of the biggest advantage. And secondly, it's a good opportunity to get into the business and kind of see if this is something they want to pursue, because hospice care is definitely unique, and I keep telling my clinicians it's something that either you have the heart to do it or you don't. So this is a good platform for them to try it out, see if it's something they want to do. And second, it looks really good on their resumes. It looks really good when they're applying for a clinical job or something on an entry level. Just to have that volunteer experience with a company as they're doing their education, now they're volunteering as well, and it looks really good. As an employer, that's something that I look for in resumes, and I think it'll help a lot of listeners out there.
So for our listeners who are interested in becoming a volunteer, how can they contact you?
Again, you could just call the 800 number. I think I gave that number online, but I'll share that again. It's 1-800-857-1467. Once again, the number is 800-857-1467. They could call and ask for the volunteer coordinator, or they could ask for the administrator, and they could set an appointment to come into the office and talk to either one of them.
Okay, perfect. Thank you all for coming in today.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having us, Asna.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, KBC Radio, for having us. Really appreciate it.
You're listening to KBCRadio.com, and up next is News at Noon.